was why!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 82 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man walking around in the Elmo costume you see in Times Square, Brian. Brian, how are you this fine evening?
I would be doing fine, but a lot of people don't tip. They want to take the photo.
Right.
But they don't understand that my time is worth something. And if they want to take a photo with me in my ill-smelling costume, then they're going to have to pay $15.
Right. I mean, the urine doesn't clean itself out of that costume.
Listen, I'm standing there for a 12-hour shift. I am not leaving my corner, because heaven forbid if I leave my corner, Batman shows up, and now he's got the block. So I just urinate right there in the costume.
It's like they say, you know, the three most important things in real estate: location, location, pee in your costume.
Pee in the costume. Always, always. It's the way to go.
All right.
It's what the
Let's
kids
get
are
rolling
doing.
Here.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Prost.
Drink of the week, drink of the week.
You know, I hope our listeners out there take the drink of the week theme as what it's intended to be. And that's kind of our sign to you that the party's ready to begin. I don't know what you're doing listening at home, but we're dancing, we're strutting, we're singing along to the drink of the week theme because it's time to party. Brian, do you think they're doing that at home?
No.
All right, we'll have to work on that. What are you drinking this week, sir?
I went lazy. I'm drinking a Sam Adams Sam 76, a refreshing lager. I reserve the right to throw in a shot of Jack Daniels at any moment. I've got myself a nice-size decanter over here next to me. And only a classy gentleman like myself would fill a decanter with Jack Daniels. But that's the kind of man I am.
I mean, you're bound and determined to get through that that case of Sam Adams you bought, aren't you?
It literally, I don't even drink at home much. It's it's just taking up space, and I'm going to work my way through it. And then when I see myself down to two bottles, I will be signing up for Tavor, the beer delivery app. If only there was a way I could save some money.
Nice.
Well, you can by using referral code 265020. That's 265020. Gets yourself $10 credit towards your first order at Tavor.
I love it. Ron, what do you got?
I went mixed drink today. I'm going gin and tonic today, which I love. One of my favorite drinks.
Now, what kind of gin? Now, if I remember correctly, you were very particular with your gin for the gin tonic.
I've been really digging Aviation Gin. That's Ryan Reynolds Gin Company. A very smooth gin, light on the juniper taste. So that's why I like it. I'm not a fan of the juniper with gin for some reason.
Now, is that because you're racist?
I don't know if that's the case, but I do find Ryan Reynolds dreamy.
He was on Saturday Night Live this weekend.
He was. I haven't watched that yet, but I hear he was in during the monologue.
You're probably better off saving yourself the time, dedicating and focusing your energies on preparing for Thanksgiving.
Fair enough. Normally, this would be the time that we would roll into This Week in Racism, but as everyone that follows the podcast closely is aware, we are just about to get into the Racism Madness Tournament. The Bracketology Committee is putting some last-minute, spackle on this bracket before they hand it over to us. We've had a number of phone conversations. They gave us a bracket earlier today. They started changing seedings around. I mean, it was, what's the word? What's the best word? It was contentious.
It was down to the wire.
Insane.
Yeah. No. It was down to the wire. I mean, are we talking about this now or are we going to save it for later?
I mean, we'll do the bracket later, but I mean, we literally weren't sure if we would have the bracket this week because at one point there was a fist fight amongst
is,
the committee.
And the you know, the real part about this is the fact that you and I are completely excluded from the tournament selection. This is very similar to the NCAA tournament in college basketball, where, you know, at the end of the season, the regular season, some Joe Schmo shows up on CBS and just starts announcing teams. You know, hearts are broken, dreams are made. Well, it's very similar to the Ron and Brian podcast Racist of the Year tournament. You know, we were, you know, we were told to, you know, arrive in a Midtown hotel. We were to wait outside of a conference room. There was cigar smoke coming out of it. There were, at times, you heard glass breaking. You heard children crying. At one point, it sounded like I heard a cow being branded. Not what you would think you would hear in a conference room in a Midtown hotel. But that is the that's the Racist of the Year tournament.
Yeah, you know, in a nutshell.
The selection committee, you know, it's steeped in mystery. You know, a lot of people say that there are links to the Yale Social Club Skull and Bones. Some people say that it's more tied to the Freemasons. And others argue that this is a pure tool of the Illuminati. We do not analyze the tea leaves. We just we announce what we have been handed. This one went down to the wire, but I'm really confident to say that we have some incredibly strong racists. I, you know, once we'll get to it later on in the show, Ron, but
we will, yes.
But we are not going to be disappointed with this year's tournament.
I mean, the only thing we know for sure, we've got the four number one seeds locked in due to their performance during the regular season. The other remaining 12 seeds up for grabs. And right now, you've got a lot of racists sitting at home saying, was I hateful enough? Was I ignorant enough? Am I stupid enough? And some of them are on the bubble, and that bubble is going to burst.
And it's going to be, it's dreams will be made.
And dreams will be broken. Mm. Ah, that's very poetic. All right, but in the meantime, we'll get to racism madness later in the episode. Let's talk about what our beefs are.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
This is going to sound very petty.
I hope so. I love petty.
Okay. So this week, not even this week, so today was my office's Thanksgiving potluck lunch.
So like a Friendsgiving almost.
A little bit. A little bit. Is that what a Friendsgiving is? I've never had friends, so I wouldn't know.
I'm not quite sure either. But all go ahead.
So it was shameful, the number of employees that showed up having not made anything.
Really? Like, did they stop at the store and buy something, or they just showed up empty-handed, just looking to glom off of the food people brought?
There were, I would say, maybe half a dozen people that bought stuff at the store, soda, cookies, things like that. But there were also just a, what I felt was a, it was really an eye-opening percentage of people that just, you know, were standing in the office, like, oh, is today the potluck lunch? I didn't know. Oh,
Thanksgiving
that looks
good. Stuck up on them or something.
Yeah, like they didn't know. Suddenly, I will say this. My office today was twice as crowded as it normally is.
Because people actually showed up for work or because of all the food?
Most people are out in the field working in satellite offices. Today, somehow magically, they all seem to appear in the headquarters. And it
many
just,
of them empty-handed.
Many of them empty-handed. And I say boo-hoo to those people.
Listen, I'm gonna go and say it. It's a bitch move to have a work potluck and not at least. I mean, again, you should really make something at home, but you should at the very least pick up something at the store.
I made a fucking green bean casserole last night.
Wow.
4 pounds. That's 4 pounds of green beans that I had to clean, trim, cut, boil. I did not sous vide them. I boiled them, and then I put them in a pan. cream of mushroom soup, some secret seasonings. Then I put some cheddar cheese on top with a nice little layer of those crunchy French onions.
That sounds like a baller green bean casserole, my friend.
It was pretty good. A lot of people I tried to keep it basic. A lot of times people just start being like, oh, well, you know, my family, we put sardines in there. I'm like, no, you got to keep it. This is Thanksgiving, doing it for the masses. So I literally was cooking for about an hour and a half last night preparing for this. And some schmuck just shows up like, oh, is that today? Oh, okay. Well, next thing I know, he's chowing down on the food that I worked so hard to prepare for him.
Well, I'm saying that's a legitimate beef. Good. I'm on your side this week.
Thank you. I feel better now. Wow.
All right, good. Good to hear.
What's your beef?
My beef this week is with FedEx. You know, we get deliveries here at the home, and obviously you can get them from DHL, UPS, Post Office, FedEx, and we have a vestibule. You've seen the front of the house. We have a little vestibule there. And pretty much every company that delivers packages puts it inside the vestibule, so it's protected from the elements. Yeah. Who's the only schmucks that can't seem to just open the door and drop it in the vestibule? That'd be FedEx.
Oh, no.
So we got a package this weekend, and it literally left on the front step, rained on top of it for hours on end, so that when I picked it up, the cardboard just literally disintegrated and everything fell out of the box.
Oh, that stinks. So, what was in the package, if I may ask?
It was cans of prescription dog food.
Okay. Yeah, no, you
want dog apparently is allergic to most everything.
Well, at least the dog's not allergic to you, Ron. And isn't that really the most important thing?
It's not allergic to love, my friend.
There you go. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yep, it is. Congratulations going out to you yet again for your NFL locks of the week from last week. Can I run through your picks real quick here?
Feel free to. You're not going to hear me complain.
So you knew that the Browns are on a bit of a roll trying to make a run towards the playoffs. They were giving 10.5 points. Again, it's always easy money betting against the Dolphins. Browns win by 17, 41-24. This one was the one I thought, again, you've had a lot that I thought might trip you up. New Orleans against the Panthers. Panthers not having a great year. New Orleans leading their division. They were getting 9.5 at home. You were like, you know what? I think the Panthers step up, which they did. They didn't win the game, but they
didn't have to.
They only lost by 3. And so by taking the Panthers plus 9.5, you continue your unbeaten streak on the season. So congrats.
Listen, if you're going to sit there offering out congrats, I can only offer it right back at you. You know, I think you put a lot of emphasis on my record this year. I mean, I know it's pretty impressive to go 2-0 every week of the season so far today. But sometimes, Ron, I think it's important that you put a mirror up and take a deep look into the face that's staring right back at you, because that man is also unbeaten this year. Last week, you sat there, saw the Bucs getting 4 against the Falcons and said, you know what, I'll take the 4, but I don't really think I need them. You had them just solidly, Bucs 35-22, didn't even think about it. And here I think you went with the easy route. You know, being a Philly man right now, you knew the Eagles are not bringing it this year. Seahawks were getting 1.5, took the whole game 17-9. Congratulations to you. Once again, another 2-0 week.
And if you want to see the kind of impact that we have on the league and on gambling in general, when I wagered on that Seahawks game, Seahawks were plus 1.5. Once Vegas saw where my money went, so many bets were placed on Seattle that the line actually flipped. And by game time, Seattle was a 1-point favorite.
Really? Well, that speaks volumes.
It does. It does. So who do you like? We got some Thanksgiving Day games coming up this year, but a full plethora of games coming up. Who do you like this upcoming week?
I've spent a lot of time watching the local football teams play, so I decided to go with both their games. I'm taking the Packers -6.5 over the Giants. Aaron Rodgers had a really lackluster game yesterday. I think this week he brings it against the lowly Giants. So if you have an opportunity, lay the points in that game. Then the New York Jets, who are just a different team than one I've seen in 6 years, go, literally transfer all the way out to Cincinnati against the unwinnable Cincinnati Bengals. This one is just a gimme. I say Jets minus 3.5.
Tanya, I love that Jets line. I would pounce all over that, but you already have, which I respect. I'm going to pick one of the Thanksgiving Day games. We've got Dallas Cowboys at home, as is a Thanksgiving Day tradition. You've got Buffalo Bills traveling. You've got a short week. You've got Jason Garrett basically coaching for his job right now. You've got Dallas minus 7. Love that line. Bet it all day long. And then looking at this upcoming weekend, there's some definite trap games out there, but you know, it's tough to call. Good Lord, where's my lines going here? But I got to go with the Sunday night game. You've got the Patriots at 10-1 traveling to Houston. Patriots have had two close wins in a row. I think their luck ends Sunday in Houston. Houston plus 3. Put it in the bank, my friend.
There we go. There we go. Listen, you can already hear the listeners running out to Vegas.
I'm going straight. So it's interesting. You're going basically New York this week.
Yes.
I'm going Texas.
There we go. I see a trend. Almost. You know, it's almost as if you have this keen ability to take seemingly unrelated facts and find something that holds them together.
It's a gift, I think.
There you go.
So speaking of New York, this past Friday, it was Ron and Brian Take Manhattan. I hopped on the Amtrak, headed up to the Big Apple to hang out with my best friend Brian and catch the Witch Taint show at Mercury Lounge in Manhattan. Good night, no doubt about it.
Late night, no doubt about it. But listen, and it was a night where we showed uncharacteristic good decisions.
It was neither of us, I think, got overly intoxicated.
No.
And then when the show let out, which was what, in the 1:30 a.m. ballpark?
It was around there, I would say so.
There was discussion of stopping at Katz's Deli for a late night bite to eat, which we passed on this time. And based on the way my body felt the next morning, it was a good call.
And speaking of passing, we literally passed Katz's. Mm. I mean, the Mercury Lounge, the venue where the concert was held, is literally one block east of Katz's. So we had to actually pass it. I genuinely felt terrible the next day. And all I could think about was just how much worse I would feel had I had stopped and gotten a corned beef sandwich at 1:30 in the morning.
It would not have been, it wouldn't have felt good. I mean, no. It was a good night. We started off at the bar at the Moxie Hotel right there in Times Square. Had a few drinks there. Nice little view overlooking, what's that, 7th Avenue there?
Correct.
And then walked over to District Tap House for dinner.
Nice beer selection, good quality food. I thought it would be a nice place for us to be able to sit. What I liked about it, and this is where it's one of the things that I've, hacked the online reservation system, is that when they ask, when you're making a reservation on OpenTable or Resy or one of those websites, I always say that it's a date.
Oh, very nice.
Because they usually end up giving you a better table. Because we easily could have just gotten one of those little two tops and had to sit with strangers. But no, we had a booth.
I was going to say, I was very surprised for a Friday night. We got a nice little out-of-the-way space. That's good to know. I apparently get preferred seating on OpenTable because I'm a Capital One cardholder. But I have yet to figure out how to access that in the app.
Wait a second. You get preferred seating with Capital One?
Apparently, I got an email from Capital One that apparently if you have like a Capital One card tied to your account, you can get reservations in places that you might not necessarily get them.
Really? Capital One is one of the few banks I do not have a credit card with.
Yes, I have banking with them too, so I'm on board with Capital One. But one thing I did like about District Tap House, not far from Times Square, but not what I would call a touristy spot.
Absolutely not. That is what I would definitely refer to as a it's an after work destination. You definitely see some large groups, people that know each other. Not touristy whatsoever, but just a really impressive beer selection. And it's not one of those like, oh, it's we only have IPAs. They have all different types of beers. You know, stouts, lagers, IPAs, pilsners.
Should I stop you before you list all of the beers out there?
I was about to just start the list all over again.
So, and then, you know, just a quick quick cab ride down to Little Italy to Ferrara's for dessert. And really, is there anything better than going to Ferrara's for some pastries?
Yes, there is one thing better. It's to go to Ferrara's for pastries and then shovel those pastries down your mouth while you are walking on the streets of Lower Manhattan.
Good call, good call. So I grabbed my usual lobster tail. So good. And I believe you had the chocolate-covered cannoli?
Oh, was that good. And I'm it you know, you can save your sexual innuendo. There was, I mean, that thing was just absolutely delicious.
And then walked down to Mercury Lounge. There was a few people in line. If you're not familiar with Witch Taint, that is one of comedian Dave Hill's bands. As everybody knows, we are a fan of Dave Hill. Dave Hill is a friend of the podcast. We saw a couple people in line that I recognized from social media as being Dave Hill fans. Had you been to Mercury Lounge before?
Yes.
Okay.
Been there a couple times. I like it as a venue. It's a good place to see a band in a small room.
Yes, no doubt about it. I would agree with that. So if people aren't familiar with Witch Taint, basically what happened a few years back is Dave Hill apparently was communicating with someone in Norway, perhaps, regarding black metal. And he was, what was the name that he gave himself? It was Lance, the King of Black Metal. That's as this kid from Gary, Indiana. And just, if you get a chance, go to, is it the Black Death Monologues?
I believe it was.
Look that up, and he's got the email exchanges that he would have with this guy, and just hilarious. Like, he was a very full of himself teenager from Gary, Indiana, with the world's best black metal band, Witch Taint. And then he eventually, put a band around it. It's him. It's Phil Costello on lead vocals. Don't know the other members of the band.
I couldn't tell you.
But just a fun show. I mean, just a good time. And what I liked is it's more than just a joke, because all of them that were on that stage were excellent musicians.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's like a real real band. And yet there is a, what's the word I'm thinking of? There is just a nice, it's almost humorous. It's slightly humorous, but like if you didn't know it, you wouldn't necessarily pick up on it.
And the woman they have that sings with them, her name in the band is Jen of Inequity, which is a clever little pun on a name. Don't know her real name, but you can tell she's classically trained. Like,
yes.
She's like some operatic training. I mean, it is like if you've listened to like Iron Maiden or groups like that, very similar poking fun vibe.
Yes. Oh, no. But really well done. Just a well done show.
In fact, we have a little actually found. Apparently, Witch Taint was at the Mercury Lounge back in May of this year. So we've got a little bit of that right here. I would like to say we were rocking out hard, but I mean, when the band comes on after midnight, you're a little worn out by that point.
Yeah.
But listen to her, man. She's just hitting those notes. Dave Hill is a tremendous guitar player. Just shreds it. Phil Costello hitting the screams, hitting the notes. So I would say if you see Witch Taint's coming to a town near you, or if Dave Hill's coming to a town near you, just go on out and see him. I'm sure we'll have to do Witch Taint again next time they perform.
talking about Valhalla. And me and the Fat Backwards up here, Thor's up there, and Odin is up there. Like, basically, you name it, Norse God, and we totally hung out with the motherfuckers. And you can start
All right, let's see. Listen to that. Listen to him hit that.
Yeah.
All right. So that was Friday. So definitely a good time. I always recommend New York City if you haven't been.
It's a fun town.
It is. It's the city that never sleeps.
Now, how was your Saturday?
My Saturday, you know, I set an alarm because I knew if I didn't, I would sleep way too late. So I managed to catch like a 9 a.m. train back to Philly and was fairly useless for the remainder of the day.
Yep, smart. But yeah, I was useless till about, I would say about 4 o'clock.
So what else do we have old. On? We are,
getting,
I mean.
We're getting old. Speaking remember, of old.
Yes.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. So I didn't really watch the Democratic debate the other night. I have no patience for it at this point. But Joe Biden is a gaffe machine. Always at least one hilarious, bit of audio. If you remember this from one of the initial Democratic debates.
If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330. And help me in this fight.
Do you think Joe gets the text thing yet, or is he still confused about 30330?
I don't think he gets it whatsoever.
If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight.
So anyway, in the last Democratic debate, the topic of domestic violence and domestic abuse came up, and he made this comment.
No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it. It will be a big no, I really mean it. It's a gigantic issue.
And the funny thing is people start to laugh at him because they realize that he doesn't realize what poor wording he has. Yes. So he's hearing people laugh and he's like, no. No, I'm serious. We gotta do something about this.
Wow, I never heard that. I you mentioned it to me, but I didn't. I had not heard that clip. That is awful.
It is as bad as you can imagine.
Because you genuinely do hear the audience just literally take a collective gasp, and some people just nervously chuckle, and he has no idea what's going on.
I don't know. I think we need to listen to something nice to get us back up here.
When I'm away from you, I know what
All right, admit it, Brian. How many times have you listened to this Joe Pesci song this week?
I've heard this probably, I would say, about a dozen times.
All right, and actually, I think it's we are just 4 days away from the entire album dropping.
I will be making sure I check that out on Spotify Premium. For those people who think I'm too cheap for spend $9.99 a month.
So speaking of politics and the Democratic presidential race, there is a new entrant, it would appear, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Brian, I know you are a fan. You mentioned previously you hoped that he entered the race. Now that he is in, what are your thoughts?
Right now, I am punching back at it. I think we've got a slightly problematic.
Okay.
He's not a perfect candidate, but I genuinely think that you've got a true pragmatic moderate who will bring the status quo back to the center.
So do you feel his policy of stop and frisk will hurt him along the way?
I'm going to say something. It made the city safer. It also violated civil liberties.
So, you know, you make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs, right?
And I absolutely. If I were somebody who's penalized under stop and frisk, I would not be a Mike Bloomberg fan.
Also, I believe there was former White House ethics chief Walter Schaub gave his opinion that he feels that Michael Bloomberg should sell off his interest in all of his media companies if he is going to run for president. What's your take on that?
I think he should, Bloomberg should, he should create a trust and put all of his, and put all of his ownership and stakes in these companies in that trust. I think he should have his children continue to run the company. They should reach out to foreign powers to try to create expansion of the company brand. I think personally, if I were, I would say Mike Bloomberg, I mean, if he's going to do all that, he may as well go into the hotel industry.
I mean, I think, you know, I think it's shown that the office of the president is really to make make your personal fortune grow as much as possible.
Absolutely. And also to ensure that you're fit, that you're that your children and their spouses are just well received by the media.
Speaking of the White House, there was apparently some input from the White House as far as this Navy SEAL that was facing a military trial and possibly being kicked out, and Trump pardoned him. And now, what was it, the Secretary of the Navy that turned in his resignation the other
yes.
day?
Yes. Yes.
So, well, you've been reading up on this, Brian. Give me the quick snapshot of what happened here.
All right. Now, keep in mind, this may not be completely factually correct.
That's fine. That's not even important these days.
So there is a Navy SEAL who gets arrested while serving overseas. Supposedly, he murdered a suspected ISIS prisoner, stabbing him. He took photographs with the body of a different ISIS body that was killed in combat. Also threatened to kill his fellow team members. That was where I think the charges really start to stem against him.
Well, and the fact that we're talking about Navy Chief Petty Officer Edward Gallagher, I think part of what people look at is the fact that his fellow Navy SEALs are the ones that turned him in.
Yeah. Oh, no. From what, this guy is not somebody that the Navy SEALs want as part of their group. So when you've got a bunch of people saying, hey, this is what we want, what does Donald Trump do?
So what Donald Trump does is after, Gallagher is acquitted of murder, but he is convicted of posing with the corpse while in Iraq in 2017. So as part of his punishment, he was demoted from chief petty officer to a first class petty officer. So what Trump does is pardon him and restore his rank earlier this month.
And that's really because I think Trump wants so badly to be perceived as a friend of the military.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. He feels like this is going to rally his base a bit around him.
He sees this as, hey, here's an American who's getting charged with some crimes against Arabs. Well, you know what? I'm going to make sure that this guy gets off scot-free, so I look pro-military, not realizing that even people in the military want this guy punished.
Right. Now, the Navy had notified Gallagher that he was going to face a Navy SEAL review board to determine if he should be allowed to remain in the force. And then Trump tweeted that, you know, he wouldn't allow the Navy to remove Gallagher from the SEALs. And, you know, back and forth between the White House, the Pentagon, and the Navy, which basically ended with the Pentagon chief firing the Navy secretary, Richard Spencer.
So it's turned into a pretty big shit show. Trump uncharacteristically quiet about it the last couple of days.
Well, I think that's because he is probably battling his illness. He is probably close to death from what it seems. If you've seen him speak in public lately, he seems to have difficulty moving his left arm. He is not as animated as previous. So you have to wonder if that's what I saw the video today. It was very, very interesting. So
why don't you send me a link to that? I had no idea.
I will have to hunt that down again.
Oh.
But Spencer wrote a fabulous, departure letter acknowledging his termination and saying that, you know, he can't in good conscience obey an order that he believes violates the sacred oath he took to defend the Constitution of the U.S. So it seems like someone that was at one point on the same page as Donald Trump. And I think he, and I think a number of military people, are really pissed off with Trump over this. Because if there's one thing that military people, for the most part, agree on, it's the rule of law. And it would be one thing if a civilian court had convicted him. But the fact that it was a military tribunal that convicted Gallagher, I think that carries a lot of weight. And for Trump to have ignored that and proceeded in the way that he did, I think a lot of military folks and veterans find that very insulting.
Yeah, yeah. So what a shit show, for lack of a better phrase.
Shocking.
Well, not really shocking. I mean, his whole presidency has been a shit show. Also, speaking of his presidency, a warning by Anonymous came out this week.
Oh, that's right. Do you have a chance to read that yet?
I was able to obtain a reviewer's copy from the fine folks over at Random House and started reading it on the subway ride this morning.
All right. I'll have to try and get a copy of that and thumb through that myself.
If you want me to, I'll have our media person reach out to the book agent.
If you could have them maybe hand deliver a copy, that would be appreciated.
But if it's raining, where do they leave the box?
Ooh, out, right on the street. Right in the damn street.
Hey, you know who's paper. Not... paper really appreciates getting wet.
That's right. You know who is not going to be able to read that new book by Anonymous?
Heather Patton.
Besides that, the celebrities that we lost this past week. Brian, time to grade those deaths.
I'm not really feeling real strong about this week's crop of celebrity deaths. First, we're going all the way to Korea. Hold on, let me say that again. K-pop musician, Goohara. That is not one name. That is two. Goohara. And if I remember with the Koreans... the family name is pronounced first, so her Americanized name would be Haragu.
That's very possible.
Unfortunately, found dead at a young age of 28, just months after an apparent suicide attempt in her Seoul home. I just have a hard time saying that name. Gu rose to fame in 2008 as a member of the girl group Hara. Later launched her own solo music career, was doing pretty well until March when an ex-boyfriend threatened to release a sex tape, which I am pretty pissed I never got a chance to see. She reacted not too well to that. She did not go the Paris Hilton route, did not go Kim Kardashian route. She decided, I'm going to kill myself. Mm. You know, she is the latest in a string of young K-pop stars to die in recent months. Her friend Suli was found dead last month at the age of 25. What is going on in the K-pop world?
You know, I don't get the whole K-pop thing, but apparently they have a very huge legion of fans who are very rabid. And if they don't behave in a way that is, I guess, acceptable within the Korean culture, it can get to be very ugly. There can be a lot of backlash.
Really,
just very tough on them.
I'm getting a little nervous about how much you do know about K-pop.
I just because I see this stuff trend on Twitter from time to time, and it's about as ridiculous as you think it would be.
You know what's also ridiculous?
What's that?
Naming a restaurant chain Pink Taco.
And that would be our next death. That's Harry Morton, who I didn't realize is the son of Peter Morton, co-founder of the Hard Rock Cafe, and grandson of Arnie Morton, co-founder of Morton's Steakhouse.
Well, you know, it almost sounds, if you think about it, it seems like each generation got worse and worse in terms of the types of restaurants they were bringing to the table. If you're going to go from Morton Steakhouse to the Hard Rock to Pink Taco, it's almost just like, kid, give it up.
And he was also an owner of the Viper Room. So I guess in a way, he's sort of responsible for River Phoenix's death.
No, he's too young. There's no way.
How long has River Phoenix been gone?
I would say at least 20 years.
All right, maybe. Because Harry Morton was only 38.
Yeah, you know, River Phoenix died at least 20 years ago. 1993. Okay, he died 16 years ago. This guy would have been 23. This guy, he bought into the room after.
All right, fair enough.
And it was really sad because that River Phoenix died.
Yes. All right. Well, that wraps up Celebrity Obituaries. Brian, I hope you will excuse my excitement, but I can't hold out any longer. I think it's time that we break open the envelopes from the Bracketology Committee and we get into Racism Madness. That's right. You've been following This Week in Racism all year, and it all comes down to this. 16 competitors going head-to-head in our Racism Madness tournament. Four regions, four seeds in each region, and you, the fans, will get to judge. Who wins? We'll have the polls up, as always, on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page. All you need to do is go to ronandbrianpodcast.com for links to all of our social media pages. But again, you're going to want to check and make sure you vote in each and every contest that we have in the first round. Brian, the excitement is palpable, isn't it?
I'm wearing my best suit.
As you should, because this is a very formal affair. Let's see here. I'm not sure which region to start with. Do you have anything in particular you'd like me to start with?
The way I see it is this. I think we start with the left, work our way to the right. First, I think, you know, if you want to talk about the four different regions,
All right.
One of the things that we see trends, you know, this year there were definitely categories which where you could see that racism was really concentrated. You know, if you were throwing up like a dot matrix chart, you would see that clusters had developed this year like never before. Ron, do you want to take a stab at it?
All right. So our first region is the Paula Deen region. That is our racist white women. Then we have the Trump University region. That is our racist tied to high schools and colleges. After that is the Stephen Miller region. That is for the entitled white men in the contest. And then we're going to finish that up with the Dolce & Gabbana region. That's racists in retail. So it is quite a mix of competitors. Let's get right into it with the Paula Deen region.
Paula Deen region.
All right, so our top four seeds, starting from the bottom, we have Julie Edwards. This was kind of a shock because Julie had gotten three wins in the regular season, almost pulled out a fourth win for a number one seed, but got a number four ranking in this region. Again, I think speaking to the level of competition in this, but also the Bracketology Committee dinged her for strength of schedule. You know, we have kind of seen in the past where some weeks it's not an equal matchup. And I think, you know, Julie Edwards may have feasted on some subpar competition. I think she got dinged by that. But if you don't remember Julie, she had been arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol when she threatened a sheriff's deputy and his family. So we've got a little clip here to refresh your memory.
Hey, ain't a damn thing wrong with a burning cross in your yard, is there? With the wrong white people. You fucked up. Hope you don't have no kids. You know what's gonna happen here now? You don't wanna know. You're done. They're gonna hurt you bad. Bad. You don't fuck with little white girls. Not like you do. Your eyes would be poked out, you know.
I think what also hurt her is that a unedited version of that audio wasn't available, and yeah. We all know how important audio quality is in This Week in Racism. So Julie Edwards, number four seed.
The fans need to hear the racism. They don't want to hear it implied. They need to hear just how angry it is.
And I think that's why she ends up last behind someone like Mickey Tronson coming in as our number three seed. Only managed to get one win during the regular season, but that was because she faced Buzzsaw Amber Rocco in her second week, or else I think she would have had a long reign. But Mickey was vacationing in the U.S. Virgin Islands when she was caught on video by a local using a racist slurs.
Don't like niggas. President Trump. Woo! Obama. Fuck you, motherfucking nigga.
Additional videos of her were shot as she rode a tourist ferry, and another local also filmed her harassing him. So quite the interesting vacation she had. So she comes in as our number three seed. Number two seed, this is a fan favorite, I think. This is Jean Kramer, who got two wins again, did well until she ended up facing Heather Patton, again, another buzzsaw, or I think Jean would have easily ended up with four wins. Jean is the woman that was running for a seat on the Marysville City Council when she mentioned that she wanted to keep her community as white as possible.
My suggestion, recommendation, keep Marysville a white community as much as possible. No foreign-born, no foreign people because of what, how can I say, in our past, what we have experienced, is better to have it or have it simply American-born, put it that way.
And as those of you who follow us remember, she also gave an insane interview to a number of news stations afterwards where she expanded on her racist views. I think we played about 6 minutes of that where she talked about how people from Canada shouldn't be allowed in the country and Britain, and it was just crazy.
Oh, so, she kept going.
Oh, yeah. She tripled down on her racism. After her story went viral, she dropped out of the race, but she lands in this race towards Racism Madness as our number two seed. But number one seed, this is kind of going back to the beginning of the season, Amber Rocco. Like I mentioned, she had knocked off Mickey Tronson in her first week, got four wins. She's the woman who slapped a black man and threatened to stab and kill him after he confronted her for using the N-word because she was upset over the way he parked.
Exactly what I'll fucking do.
This bitch is really trying to stab him. What's just that? Because...
No, I got yeah, self-confidence are. It's called self-defense, yeah. You stupid bitch. Nigger bitch!
Who the fuck you calling a nigger?
You, motherfucker!
You're racist as fuck! What the fuck? Oh my god.
See what fucking happens, you goddamn nigger!
So anyway, she ended up pleading guilty to unauthorized use of a weapon, intimidation, and two counts of harassment, and was sentenced to 30 days in jail. She is our number one seed in the Paula Deen region. She will go up against Julie Edwards in this first round, while Jean Kramer takes on Mickey Tronson. Brian, thoughts on the Paula Deen region?
Wow. Speechless. Absolutely speechless. Clearly, Amber Rocco is the heavy favorite. I mean, if you look back on, she came out, week two of this year, Amber Rocco came out, took out Mickey Tronson, took out Savannah McCauley, took out Cam Wright, even took out Covington Catholic High School.
That was a barn burner, that one.
That was close. I mean, clearly she's showing that she's got legs, she's got the strength, a lot of anger.
She's got legs. She does not have a lot of teeth.
Well, that's okay. Not many people in this year's tournament does. At the same time here, you've got talent. Jean Kramer bringing the heat. Mickey Tronson, I think, is going to have an uphill battle, but I wouldn't rule her out. Julie Edwards, I think she's just happy to be involved.
All right. Let's move on to the bottom of the left-hand side of the bracket.
Trump University region.
All right, as we mentioned, these are our racists tied to high schools and universities. So we start with Riley Grisar and Lily Sexton getting the number four seed after getting two wins in the regular season. This is a video that went viral, which involved Grisar, who was the leader of the UNLV chapter of Turning Point USA at that point, and his friend Lily. So let's take a listen to what they had to say.
Yes. I love these guys.
Dude, we're gonna rule the country. White power. White power.
power.
White power.
Yeah.
Fuck them all. Fuck them all. Yeah. That's right.
All right, so after that went viral, Grizzard was booted out of Turning Point USA, while Saxton claimed the video was shot when she was, quote, young and stupid, and then she deleted all of her social media accounts.
Smart move.
Yes. Moving on, we have the kids from Spain Park High School. Got two wins again in the regular season, coming in at our number three seed. Spain Park High School, of course, making its second appearance in This Week in Racism in as many years. They were back in the original contest back in 2018. Students in Spain Park High School were caught on video making racist comments about blacks and Jews.
If we had the Holocaust, what would the world be like?
We would have white people.
Jews would run the world without the Holocaust.
Fuck niggers, fuck Jews.
Jews are fine.
If the Holocaust never happened, Jews would be running the world right now.
It's fine, we just need niggers gone. So half mixed Oreos?
Think about
what are you going to do with them?
Awesome. You stick them in concentration camps.
No, you have to, wait till they die off.
It's charging.
No, we run niggers because they do football for us and rap music, and we pay them for that.
No, they do nothing.
So pretty vile stuff there. Again, only two wins, but again, they were knocked off by another buzzsaw, number one seed Corinne Tyrone. Again, I think Spain Park could have gone further. They just faced some tough uphill battles there. This is a pretty stacked region the more I look at it. Looking at the second seed, this is the Kickapoo High School Racist. Again, getting two wins during the regular season. This is a student from Kickapoo High who posted a 20-second Snapchat video using racial slurs and threatening to lynch black students if they continued to use the school's locker rooms.
Before we start Q&A, I got something to say. This is for all the coon spooks and niggers you're kicking, but you stay the fuck out of our locker room. Fucking coming in and stealing shit, we should fucking lynch you. Fuck all of you. It's a privilege to be in our school. You fuckers going around like you own the place. Fuck all of you. Every single one of you stupid cunts.
All right, so he was disciplined by his school and was also investigated by the local police. Again, I think audio there not being the best may have hurt him. He also was knocked out by Days in Dave, which, as we all know, had another very successful four-win run. So looking at the number one seed, though, the aforementioned Corinne Tyrone, again, four straight wins. I mean, she knocked off some heavyweights along the way. Again, she knocked off Spain Park High School. She knocked off TKE, San Jose Shell Racist, and finished off with her fourth win against Taco Truck Tammy. If you don't remember Corinne, she had been an employee of the Hamden Public School System when she was caught on video using racial slurs against a black couple at a local supermarket. She also repeated the slur on a 911 call she made while still at the store. The audio in the store wasn't the best, but obviously we have some good audio from the 911 call, which we will play right here.
Fucking nigger!
Easton, please.
Hi, my name is Corinne McGovney. I was talking to my kids, and this black guy got up in front of me and said, "Are you talking to me, bitch?" And I said, "No, I'm not, nigger." And now they're telling me I'm racial profiling.
Okay, what town are you in, ma'am?
I'm a fucking bitch!
Ma'am, you're not in Easton. We don't have a Stop and Shop. So what town
East
are you
Haven,
in?
East Haven. East Haven.
Okay, you called Easton.
All right, go fuck yourself, then.
So, and again, I we have to play the beginning again because I love how she just is you know, using the racial slur, and then when the cop talks to her, she gets all normal voiced.
Fucking nigger!
Easton, please.
Hi, this is Corinne.
I'll say this, the most dangerous person right now in America is a white woman.
Oh yeah, especially a white woman on the phone to the police.
Oh, because what it is the fact that the white males have had their sense of entitlement mostly taken or stripped away from them. You know, obviously the elites are still claiming it, and rightfully so. But white women just literally feel like, you know, they're the oppressed, so they're going to stand up. But just to hear that voice where she's like, you know, you effing N-word. Oh, hello. I'd like to report that there's a problem. I'm being victimized. Like, no, lady, you're the problem.
So let's head on over, shall we, to the right-hand side of the bracket, starting off in the Stephen Miller region.
Stephen Miller region.
All right, so our number four seed in this region is Ethan Kozak, who got one win earlier in the season, but he got extra points because he was one of the rare non-audio entries into This Week in Racism. There was no audio or video to back up his racism, but Kozak was investigated by police after the University of Pittsburgh student sent racial threatening messages to a black student, DJ Matthews. Kozak made Snapchat videos using racial slurs and saying he would shoot Matthews, quote, just like George Zimmerman. So that was enough to get him Racist of the Week honors and to get him one win. He was knocked off by Chris Cooker, who comes in at number three in this region. Two wins, high vote tally. This is the YouTube employee who called the police on a black man who was waiting for a friend that lived in Cooker's building. Cooker called the cops despite his son's pleas not to.
There's a trespasser in my building.
Listen to your son.
Daddy, go. It's the better.
Let's go. Oh, that's heartbreaking to listen to.
So Cooker blamed it on the fact that his father had been killed by a mentally ill man, and his family blamed the police for not responding fast enough. Despite calls for Google to fire him, he is still listed as the head of product partnerships for YouTube. Heading to our number two seed, this is Parker Mushton. Got two wins in his run. Again, a very impressive vote tally for the short period of time that he was in the contest. He got knocked off by the Texas Post Office racist, who we'll see in our next region. But Parker was a student at Cardinal Newman High School in Columbia, South Carolina, who filmed a couple of videos making racist slurs and firing a gun.
Howdy. I'm Parker Mushton, and I hate black people. They're the worst. They're stinky, and they just suck. They're just bad people. If you notice, over there is a box of Jordans, the favorite pair of shoes for a black man. I'm going to show you what I think of a black man. Fuck all niggers.
Hey.
So he was allowed to withdraw from Cardinal Newman prior to being expelled and was arrested for threats against the public. Well, that leads us to our number one seed, Days in Dave, another individual that managed to capture four wins and an automatic number one seed. This is a front desk clerk at a Days Inn in Norfolk, Virginia, who harassed a black guest of the hotel that was just trying to get some breakfast before leaving for a sound check for a concert he was doing in the area. We've got some of that audio here.
Say what you were saying.
Come on, let's hear what you got to say, Chunk Chuck.
Say what you were saying.
Come on, Chuck Chuck.
Say what you were saying.
Come on, boy. Come on, prison boy.
Prison boy. Ugh.
Prison boy. That old prison boy here. Look at prison boy. Yeah, look at that little fucking dumbass hair dud he's got. Looks like a fucking mop. Look at it.
Days in Hotel. Little fucking mop. Look at that, Virginia.
Look at that. This look at all that shit treated. All over his face. You know, you can't even see his fucking face for all the shit.
This is how I'm being treated right now by this guy.
All right, so despite saying later in the video, quote, I ain't going to lose my job over you, he did, in fact, lose his job.
But rightfully so.
He at least still has his number one seed in the Stephen Miller region. He will be going up against Ethan Kozak in this first round, while Parker Mushton takes on Chris Cooker. Pretty heavily loaded region. Thoughts on the four competitors we have here?
This is going to be a brutal one. I think... you know, it's, you know, Days and Dave is bringing the heat, clearly. But there's a lot of talent here. Ethan Kozak, I mean, think about it. There's no audio. There's no video. This kid took a win. I mean, that is just how strong he's bringing. And he's a four seed in this. You got crying kids. This one, you know, you want to say that your gut says Days and Dave, but this could go either way.
It's a tough one, so we will definitely be interested to see how the voting turns out, and we go into our final bracket.
Dolce and Gabbana region.
All right, so these are our racists in retail. Our number four seed on this bracket is the Texas Post Office racist. Got one win. He was the one that knocked off Parker Mushton before he was knocked off the following week by Gene Kramer, our number two seed over in the Paula Deen region. But this gentleman was caught on video in a USPS store in North Texas using a racial slur towards an employee when he became angry over not receiving a form that he wanted. And let's check out that audio.
Give me the form, you fool!
Yeah, can you say?
Give me the form, you asshole! You fucking jigaboo! Give me the fucking form!
Oh. Can you submit for me, swear?
Yeah.
Can you
say right.
Give me the form, you fucking nigger!
Ooh!
Oh, no. That's a nigger.
All right, so the customer left before police could arrive, but another customer wrote down his license plate number. Police stated they would be investigating the incident, but no further follow-up has been reported. Again, he's only number four in this region, so you can imagine what else we have to come here.
I'm predicting some heat.
All right. Number three seed is Walmart Wendy. She went viral after being filmed in a Walmart parking lot in Glendora, California, harassing a group of contractors, asking them if they were illegal immigrants. She defends herself in the video, stating that she can't be racist because her dad is black, and making one of our all-time favorite comments that she also can't be racist because her nephew is, quote, Italian, Mexican, and Aloha. Let's take a listen to some of her audio here.
My dad is black. My dad is black. I'm not racist. This guy's from Mexico. They punk people, and they fucking don't know everybody's goddamn illegal shit. You understand?
Yeah.
And my dad's black. Don't call me racist, asshole.
My family works along.
Oh, okay. So what? I want to make sure this guy's legit. I don't want him punking some. He can be punking your fucking job, taking your fucking outfit, working. To get paperwork. I have all my paperwork over here. My dad's black, asshole. My dad's fucking black.
So I don't know if you were aware, but her dad's black. So Walmart Wendy got one win during the regular season, but then went up against Days in Dave, only losing by a single vote. So I think she accounted herself well during the regular season. So right. She gets the number three seed. Moving on to our number two seed, Nancy Goodman. She is the woman who approached a group of black women at a Bonefish Grill in suburban Raleigh, North Carolina. She thought they were too loud and then proceeded to use a racial slur towards them.
Oh, you're so stupid, nigga.
And then doubled down when interviewed by a local radio station, saying that if she had to do it all over again, she would.
I'm not going to say I'm sorry to them because they kept pushing at it. So, and that's all I'd really like to say.
What about your use of the N-word?
I used that word because they forced me into it.
Do you see how that's incredibly offensive?
Yes, I do. That's why I said it. I would say it again to them.
Classic victim blaming there. So Goodman, she got two wins during the regular season, taken out by Parker Mushton, who again, a number two seed in his own right. So, you know, can't really, you know, if she hadn't faced Parker, very easily could have ended up with the number one seed. But our number one seed in this region is Heather Patton. She got four wins right before the end of the season, retired as a number one seed. She was videoed at a CVS in the Eagle Rock neighborhood of LA yelling racial slurs at a black woman. She also talked about how she would like to kill black people.
I would kill a nigger, but the law says I can't kill the niggers. If the law didn't say that I couldn't kill the niggers, they'd all be dead.
So,
that's unsurprisingly just brutal.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, she has had two restraining orders taken out on her by neighbors, and reportedly had a similar incident in the past where she verbally assaulted an Asian cashier at a grocery store. Patton blamed this incident on being drunk, but that did not keep her from being fired from her job as a Hollywood costume designer. So again, she's our number one seed in the Dolce and Gabbana region. She'll be facing the Texas Post Office racist in round one, while Nancy Goodman takes on three seed Walmart Wendy. Again, a loaded region in this corner of the bracket. Heather Patton was definitely, you know, the hot hand coming out of the regular season, but she's got some tough competition. Do you think she can come out and make it to the Final Four, seeing as how this bracket is stacked up?
Listen, I'm not going to pretend to be able to predict the semifinals or the quarterfinals. I will say Heather Patton, elite, just an elite racist. Bringing it, I think she will power right through this division.
All right. Well, that will be up for our fans to decide. So again, go to our Facebook page and our Twitter page. Our polls will be up on each, or just make it easy on yourself and go to ronandbrianpodcast.com.
And one of the things I would like to take the opportunity to is to thank the very kind people at Obolon Brewery in Kiev, Ukraine. They have agreed without any type of arm twisting to sponsor our Racism of the Year tournament. Couple facts you may not know about Obolon Brewery. They are the largest brewer in the Ukraine. Not only do they make beer, but they are also produce low alcohol drinks, sodas, and mineral waters. Their main plant is in Kiev. Their largest delivery route is owned by Les Parnas, Igor Furman. They do happen to also have a very large collection of private servers in their IT closet. Their main brewery was built in 1980, according to designs made by Czech engineers. They have agreed that they will sponsor this in no way based on the pressure provided by Rudolph Giuliani, who is a close friend of the podcast. And ultimately, we wanted to thank them because not only are they the largest exporter of Ukrainian beer, they're also currently running an internal investigation against Hunter Biden.
Nice. Well, we definitely appreciate them coming on board and supporting our Races of the Year tournament. So again, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. That'll give you the links to our Facebook page and our Twitter to vote on all of these first round matchups. And we'll find out next week who moves on in this tournament. Also, you can find our link to our Patreon if you would like to subscribe. We'll be recording our Patreon content right after this episode. So we thank our current subscribers. We'd love to see more of you. But most importantly, let's get the votes in for Races of the Year. Brian, anything else for the main edition of the podcast this week?
Absolutely nothing.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us once again. Go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Vote, subscribe, rate, and review.